I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, it is time for a complete overhaul of the Washington State Attorney General's office. Plus, Congressman Pramila Jayapal insults the families of people killed by illegal aliens. And has NBC News been taken over by the Chinese Communist Party? It sure sounds like it. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I want to start the show by talking about something I've brought up probably a dozen times, complaints about the Office of the Attorney General of Washington State. And I think the same complaint would be true in red states and blue states across the country, that I don't believe that the way the Attorney General's office is set up, that it can truly serve the people of Washington and the government of the state of Washington. But more than just complain about it today, I want to start the process of trying to figure out together, how do we change it? Is it possible to change it? And what exactly would that look like? And I'll get into why I'm so fired up about this today. But here's my general idea, okay? So you have the Office of the Attorney General. It is a statewide elected office. I think it should be split into two. I think you should have an Attorney General for state government, and an attorney general for the citizens of Washington state. So here's what this looks like. And again, I don't know the answers to all this. I'm not even 100% sure how it would be done. I think it would probably require some sort of constitutional amendment, but I believe that the office needs to be split into two different, distinct, statewide elected offices. So you've got the state attorney general that is the attorney for the state government. It defends the state in legal disputes. It defends state interests in disputes with the federal government. And then separate from that, independent from that, the citizen attorney general. So this is the attorney general that represents the citizens, the interests of the citizens, defends citizens against state government and government overreach, defends the state constitution and our rights under the state constitution, handles certain public records cases, and defends voter initiatives. That last little bit there is one of the things that has made me so passionate about trying to change the Office of Attorney General. And I was reminded of why I believed that yesterday. So after the United States Supreme Court came out with its decision that red states can ban biological boys from girls' sports, here's what Attorney General Nick Brown posted from his official Attorney General account yesterday. He said, "It's dismaying that the court would permit states to discriminate against trans student athletes. This ruling does not change Washington law, and we will continue to uphold the rights and dignity of trans youth." Again, that's our attorney general, not from his personal page, from his official government account. Now, why is this so problematic? Well, of course, we are months away from Washington voters deciding whether to protect girls' sports. And he's saying that the ruling does not change Washington law, but that it lacks dignity, that banning trans kids from girls' sports steals the dignity of trans youth. So clearly he's against the idea of keeping trans kids boys out of girls' sports. Clearly he's against it. But who would defend the will of voters should voters decide in November in the state of Washington to keep boys out of girls' sports? Nick Brown. Does that not seem very, very problematic? And this could go for a million other things. You can't represent the interests of the government or the political party that's in power as the attorney general and then simultaneously represent the interests of the citizens. And we've seen this play out time and time again, right? Where you have government officials. I mean, look at the effort to protect natural gas that was a Let's Go Washington initiative. You know, the voters passed it. And what did Governor Jay Inslee do? Well, he said, "We're challenging that in court." And they decided to challenge the will of voters. Okay, well, who's the attorney for the governor? The attorney general. Who's the person who's supposed to help defend the will of voters? The attorney general. You can't freaking do both things. You can't convince me that you can do both things. So now we have an attorney general who is out in the open saying he doesn't agree with a SCOTUS decision to protect girls' sports, and we're supposed to believe that he'll defend us. when we vote in November to protect girls' sports. It's just not possible. Francis Stout, a few things I want to... So I posed this to the Attorney General's office after that post yesterday, and I'll get to their response momentarily. But Francis Stout, who, you know, we've had her on the show before, she has become one of the most important voices of young women in our state, who has been, you know, very adamantly speaking out in favor of protecting girls' sports. She's an athlete in Tumwater. She's going to be, I believe, a senior this year in Tumwater. She posted a response to AG Nick Brown. It's long, but I think it's important, and these girls' voices are not being heard enough, so I'm going to read the full thing for you. She said, AG Brown, it's easy to post a polished graphic declaring yourself on the right side of history. It's harder to sit across the table from the girls whose concerns you've dismissed. You called protecting girls' sports discrimination. Many Washington families, including mine, call it common sense. There is nothing discriminatory about standing up for girls, advocating for fairness, and asking leaders to listen to the athletes and families directly affected by these policies. There is nothing dismaying about the courts reaching this decision. What I do find dismaying is that politicians such as yourself, Senator Jamie Peterson, Governor Bob Ferguson, and Superintendent Chris Reichdahl continue to oppose protections for female athletes. I also find it dismaying that three women serving on the Supreme Court ruled in a way that turned away from biological reality, truth, and the interests of female athletes. If you're so confident your position is right, then meet with the athletes, parents, and coaches who disagree with you. Listen to the girls who have been directly affected instead of speaking for them. I'm happy to have that conversation anytime. Are you? She goes on to say, we all know A.G. Brown isn't going to change his views or suddenly decide to protect me and other female athletes. Now it's time to get to work. I'm calling on every Washington voter to pay attention to what the politicians in Olympia are trying to push. I believe it's radical gender ideology, not biological reality, and it's affecting girls across the state. If you believe girls deserve fair competition, equal opportunities, and privacy in their own spaces, I urge you to vote yes this November. I may be too young to vote, but I am not too young to fight. I won't stop until girls and women are protected in their sports and private spaces. And when we look back at this moment, I am confident that I will be the one on the right side of history. Bravo to Frances Stout, better said than any adult could say it. And she's right to be upset. We have this attorney general, and look, he won. He was duly elected to office, but he doesn't represent the interests of all Washingtonians. And I'm sorry, there's really nothing you can say to convince me that his office will, to the best of their ability, defend the will of voters in November if it doesn't go the way that he wants it to go. So I posed two questions to the attorney general's office. One, why should voters, given what he said about the SCOTUS ruling, trust that he's going to defend the will of voters in November? And then two, should he be posting that from his official government account, considering we have an issue on the ballot in November about this very topic? Here's what Mike Falk, his spokesperson, said to us in response. The AG is already in court defending an initiative he doesn't personally support, but knows was duly approved by voters. His job is to enforce and defend the laws of Washington, even when he disagrees with the policy. Like, look, I know that's his job, and I know that it requires that he do so. My question is, can he be trusted to do so to the best of his ability? Can the people he's put in the positions to defend the will of voters, whether it's, you know, for the natural gas, protecting natural gas, or protecting girls' sports, or protecting parental rights, or the income tax? I mean, your office was colluding with Democratic lawmakers to try to push through an income tax that could withstand a constitutional challenge. And you expect me to believe that if the thing passes in November, that you'll do your best to defend the will of voters on the income tax or parental rights or girls' sports? It's about optics, too. Maybe you will. Maybe you'll give it an old college try. You'll throw everything you have at it. But will voters trust it? I just don't think so. I don't think that we can. And so if I go back to, just really quickly, the concept of splitting this into two different statewide elected offices. And look, in Washington, they'll probably put a very liberal person as the citizen's attorney as well. But I still believe that if you have someone, and there's a couple reasons why this is necessary and beneficial. I think I've pointed out the obvious one, which is, no, you can't be the attorney for the state and be the attorney for the citizens. Because sometimes the interests of the state and the government are very different from the interests of the citizens. But a couple of these things that I mentioned that a citizen attorney general could take on, you know, public records cases. So if a citizen wants to sue because public records have been mishandled, they have to come out of pocket probably tens of thousands of dollars for an attorney. Why should they have to do that? when it's the government that has the duty to be transparent, I think there should be a mechanism by which a state attorney general can handle public records cases when the government fails to provide records and be transparent to the public. And then on the voter initiatives, that's very obvious, is as we've been discussing, I don't think you can do both. And in its current makeup, the attorney general is sort of required to do both. It's like, oh, if the government doesn't like the result of an initiative, well, I've got to defend them, and the state legislature and the governor will also defending the will of voters. So what does this look like? I assume that it would be some sort of constitutional amendment where you would divide these duties. And there's way more duties than enumerated here that the attorney general's office handles. But I don't think it would take an awful lot of effort to say, how do we divide that? And how do we, you know, divide the office and the staff and all of these things so that we can truly have an independent sort of arbitrator in state government looking out for the citizens and the Constitution and fighting against the erosion of our constitutional rights and fighting against any efforts to erode our right to vote and our right to initiative and our right to referendum. So I'm very passionate about trying to make this happen. I'm curious what you guys have to say about it. As far as the Girls Sports Initiative and what Nick Brown's office is going to do when that passes, I did reach out to Brian Haywood this morning and I just asked him, you have a response to what Nick Brown, Brian Haywood, of course, with Let's Go Washington. I said, do you have a response to what Nick Brown posted? He said, it's telling that AG Brown's statement mentions dignity for trans athletes, but has nothing to say about the girls who were displaced, silenced, and told their concerns don't matter. We'd ask AG Brown directly, what is your message to the girls in Washington who just want a fair shot at competition? And I think that's something that routinely gets forgotten. And it gets forgotten in the local conversation and the national conversation. If I could jump ahead quick to just Governor Tim Walz. He said, as the Supreme Court says, states can be cruel to trans kids. My message is clear. Here in Minnesota, we stand with and value our trans neighbors and youth. And I looked at that and I thought, well, do you stand with and value girls? It's always about valuing and standing with and standing up for the trans athletes that are just a small fraction of athletes in any state in the union. And I'm not saying that their rights don't matter, but they seem to completely write off what's fair and equitable for the girls. Every single time, and it's usually men, by the way, Tim Walz, Nick Brown, Bob Ferguson, Chris Reichdahl, they just totally write off the girls. And I think that's part of it, I'd ask anyone, is like, doesn't that bother you? You might be totally in favor of trans rights, but are you willing to stop and think for a moment about the rights of women and girls? That used to be something that, you know, people on the left fought very hard for in this country. Title IX was something that Democrats fought very hard for in this country 20-odd years ago. And now all of a sudden it's like, no, we don't care about girls, trans kids all the way. I'm all for equal rights for transgender children, whatever that may mean, if that's really a thing or if it's social contagion. I'm for equal rights for everyone, but not special treatment, not special protections under the law. And that's what this is. And then we have, of course, the lies that go around with this. So the SCOTUS decision is important, right? It says, yes, states are allowed to ban boys from girls' sports. States can protect girls' sports. So that leads, you know, to the ability to about half of the states in the union that haven't done that yet to be able to do so if they choose. But a lot of them are blue states and are going to have to be forced into it. So the SCOTUS fight is important. But the fight ahead is much more difficult. There are multiple states, including Colorado and Washington, whose both blue states, ours bluer than theirs, whose voters will decide in November whether they want to do what their elected leaders have so far refused to do. That's a much taller task, getting voters in blue states to do this as opposed to a conservative Supreme Court. So the more difficult fight is ahead. And as I've said a million times, it's going to be vicious. It's going to be freaking brutal. You will never see a campaign so packed with lies as you will see the campaign opposed to protecting girls' sports in Washington. Shasti Conrad, the chair of the Washington State Democratic Party, released a statement about the SCOTUS decision. And what did she do? Regurgitate that same lie that they think is a winning lie. They have done all the work behind the scenes. They probably had a focus group in and ran some of their favorite lies past the focus group to see what would stick. And it's that they're going to look at kids' genitals one. She said, no matter what the Supreme Court decides, Washington State will continue providing access to sports for trans athletes. Every student deserves to participate in sports, and the benefits they provide ranging from community leadership, training, and health benefits. Up to now, I don't disagree with any of that. No one is saying trans kids can't compete in sports. They just have to compete in the sports that match their actual biological gender. She goes on to say, today's ruling strips a marginalized community of their dignity. But Washington Democrats are proud that our state will continue to provide practical guidance for schools hosting trans athletes. Now we must focus our efforts on fighting the forced genital exams for female athletes being pushed by Let's Go Washington to keep our state welcoming and safe for everyone. Forced genital exams for female athletes. Like, how dumb do they think voters are? How stupid do they think voters are? And frankly, the lie they're pushing makes it sound like the members of the Washington Education Association are pedophiles. They are so opposed to this, they're willing to paint some of their biggest donors as gross pedophiles who would force kids to show off their genitals. But they're going to spend probably on this specific initiative, $10 million, probably $40 million on the suite of initiatives, but the left will raise $10 million to push that lie onto every TV set in Washington state, across the radio airwaves, and all over social media, that this is forced genital exams of children. Because they focus grouped it, and they know they can't win on the argument that they know they can't get out there and say boys should be able to compete against girls, because it'll never win. And look, it is not my job, it can't be my job, to raise money for Let's Go Washington. That's a pretty firm line. I can't be out there raising money for a political organization. As much as I support this initiative to protect girls' sports with every fiber of my being, it is absolutely the women's rights issue of our generation. And it's critical that we return to a point where truth matters in this country. Absolutely critical, but I can't go out there and start making phone calls raising money for this. And here's the reality. I'm terrified, and I become more terrified by the day. Do you know how insufferable these people will be if they defeat the initiative to protect girls' sports in November? Do you know how insufferable they will be? And if you thought radical gender ideology had seeped into every aspect of state government, just you wait. This will be a green light for them, and they'll raise $10 million to do it. And meanwhile, I am terrified because you've got the initiative to repeal the income tax. Where do you think all the money's going to go? Where do you think all the Republican donors are sending their funds? They're sending it to the initiative to repeal the unconstitutional income tax, which I care a lot about. God, I'm so spun up, I can't even talk. I care a lot about that. But of course, the people with money are going to spend it trying to repeal the income tax that for now targets people with money. And I'm very worried that the initiative to save girls' sports and parental rights are going to be overlooked as a result of that. And the money isn't coming in for those. And I don't know what you do about that. Maybe a million people tag Elon Musk on X and just beg him to write a big fat check to help protect girls' sports. Because if it wins here in one of the deepest blue states in the country, the dominoes will fall. I promise you. So for people who care about this issue across the country, we need help here. We need help urgently here to combat the lies and the money coming from the teachers union, the local and the state teachers union, the ACLU dumping money into this fight. And on the other side, the side of common sense doesn't really have a lot of money coming in. So something needs to be done. I'm very worried about it, that this is going to be overlooked. And then, of course, on top of all of that, you've got the media. And the media just, that's the other tool they have in their toolbox. That's free advertising for them. Because the media will hook, line, and sinker say, yeah, this might lead to genital exams of children. And they'll be very sympathetic towards the trans argument, but pay no mind to what's happening to the girls. Like, look, this is one of the craziest clips I've ever seen from a news network. So NBC News is talking about the SCOTUS ruling yesterday. And Craig Melvin gives this little disclaimer when they're getting into the reporting. Listen.
Just a quick note here. The terms that we're using here during our reporting, biological male, biological female, the High Court put those terms in quotations in their decision and their dissent.
Gosh.
But just so you know, we're using those terms from the decision itself, biological male, biological female.
I can never watch an episode of Dateline ever again. Craig Melvin, you're breaking my freaking heart. You have to give a disclaimer. Oh, you know, we don't want to have to say that it's a biological male, even though it is. So we're just giving you the disclaimer that that's the verbiage of the U.S. Supreme Court, not us. How can you trust a news outlet that just won't speak a simple truth because it's worried about offending people? As I said in the show yesterday, the truth is neither nice nor mean. The truth is the truth. And we have to stop falling over ourselves, trying not to offend people with the truth. And no media outlet that won't tell you the simple truth that these are boys is a media outlet that cannot be trusted to tell you the truth on anything. It's just outrageous, this place that we're in. So the fight is going to be just vicious. And what do we got? July, August, September, October. We got like 4 months to make this happen. And if it loses in Washington state, I don't know if it's going to be able to succeed in any other blue state in the nation. So we've got to come up with a game plan to do with what's within our power to do to try to get this thing across the finish line. And just a note, I thought the First Lady Melania Trump's statement on all of this is good and underscores something that I've talked about on the show. You will never hear me disparage these kids. You will never hear it. And I encourage anyone who has any sort of platform not to disparage children either. These are kids, whether they think they're trans or whatever it is, they have done nothing wrong. You know, do I think that some of these, especially if you get into 17, 18 year old males, ought to stop and think like, gosh, maybe I'm taking opportunities away from girls? Sure, but they're doing what adults allow them to do. So making it about anti-trans is never going to be the way that we win this. It's about pro-girls, pro-women, protecting them, and facts and reason. And that's what the First Lady said on social media. She said, as many of you may know, I fully support the LGBTQIA+ community, but we must also ensure that our female athletes are protected and respected. The U.S. Supreme Court has now legally confirmed this opinion. Under Title IX and the Equal Protections Clause of the 14th Amendment, may schools maintain women and girls sports for biological females? The answer is yes. America, we can support the rights of LGBTQIA community members and also protect opportunities for female athletes. Respect everyone and keep girls sports fair. Both ideals are essential. I agree. And fair is fair. We're not trying to keep trans kids out of sports. They can play. They just have to play in the sport that matches their true biological gender. All right. Coming up next, the city of Seattle still trying to take steps to improve the public safety situation in North Seattle amid a rise in the sex trade that has led to gang violence and shootouts. We'll talk about the city's latest plan. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. They've got your back all year round on an individual level, helping you navigate the changing rules and regulations for landlords, whether you need information on how to screen tenants, what's a legal way to screen tenants, forms, etc. And then they've got your back in other ways too. They are advocating for private property rights all year long, and especially during the legislative session in Olympia, they've helped to put forth some really key property rights cases that have gone before the State Court of Appeals that we're waiting for some decisions on. So it's just a great organization out there advocating for the interests of landlords. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. Okay, so there is a renewed, and I'll give the city of Seattle a little bit of credit here, but I really think the credit's probably owed to the citizens of North Seattle around Aurora Avenue North. Has always been a hotspot for prostitution. Always, 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 always. But it's gotten pretty bad. And as you know, this is what it sounds like on Aurora Avenue North some nights. Not firecrackers, gunshots. Because you get the sex trade, really any sort of illicit trade, you're going to get violence that comes along with it and gangs that are going to be responsible for the trade, whether it's drugs, sex workers, human trafficking, whatever it is. And so things have gotten pretty violent and there's a lot of families up there. There's a lot of single family homes up there. And it got so bad, they tried to take matters into their own hands. You'll remember when some citizens put up like some makeshift blocks in the roadways. Because what was happening is a lot of these shootouts would be like drive-bys, and they'd go right off Aurora like 60, 70 miles an hour through these residential neighborhoods to get away, sometimes continuing to shoot. And so some of these neighbors are like, we just have to do whatever we can because the city's not taking it seriously. So the city went in, it removed the makeshift ones that the community had put down, and they tried to put in some of their own barriers. And it kind of worked slash didn't work. I mean, they put in these big like concrete barriers, but the issue is like, they were worried about blocking emergency vehicles and you know, garbage trucks and all of these things. So that didn't really work either. And so now the city is trying to make more permanent some of the closures on certain streets that come right off of Aurora. So they pushed out this ordinance. It says that it's an ordinance related to closing public streets to maintain or enhance public safety. It requires an emergency declaration to allow the director of the city Department of Transportation to do this. It says the decision to close streets or alleys would remain the responsibility of the director of transportation. Streets provide right-of-way access to the public in general, while alleys provide localized access to adjacent properties. They're basically, like, if you look at a street that comes off of Aurora, right, they want to close it to Aurora Avenue exits and entrances, but then they have to maintain access and alleyways for people to be able to get to their homes and emergency vehicles and garbage trucks to be able to get in and out. So Deborah Juarez, who is the councilwoman for North Seattle right now, she said, look, some of what we've done, like there was a partial blockage that the mayor, Katie Wilson, had put into place because she wanted that flow of emergency vehicles. But the partial blockage didn't do anything because the crime gang members just go around the partial blockage. So here's Deborah Juarez on this ordinance.
Neighbors blocked the streets with planters May 24th to May 28th. And then we did see a reduction in some activity and shootings on those streets during that street blockage that the neighbors did themselves. On May 28th and 29th, the mayor's office removed the planters and installed slowdowns. And then, of course, the shootings returned on May 30th to June 1st. The root of the problem on Aurora is the sex trafficking, is the prostitution, is the drug activity. And that today, I agree, it is a Band-Aid. And hopefully with SDOT and their engineers, they can look at something more permanent to make Aurora safe.
Yeah, cops. I mean, even if you make it more permanent, that's still a Band-Aid. You do realize that, right? That's not addressing the problem. And Seattle's so good at this, right? I'm glad they're talking about it, look. And I think citizens raising holy hell has forced them into a position to have to talk about it. Seattle police went out with the feds. I thought that was a positive development. But Seattle is so great at this. It's like, well, building tiny houses for the homeless. Okay, that's a Band-Aid as well. A tiny house is not going to solve the homeless crisis. It's like, oh, well, we'll put up some barriers. We'll make them permanent. Band-Aid. You have to deal with the crime crisis. You have to crack down on the sex trade. You have to allow the federal government to crack down on the illegal aliens. HSI went up there and they arrested 4 illegal aliens from Mexico. What do you think they were doing up there? And so you have to say that we're going to enforce the laws on the books. You enforce the laws on the books aggressively, without fear of favor or without fear of offending your far left base. That is going to take care of the public safety crisis on Aurora Avenue. Nothing else is. You could install some sort of massive space alien force field around the homes. Doesn't change the situation on Aurora. As with so many issues, just enforce the laws we have on the books. You don't have to do anything else. Don't have to do anything special. Laws exist. Let's just do it. And, you know, one of the reasons I think they can't solve these like very obvious issues, I mean, they've become entrenched issues. They're very difficult to deal with. But the solution is obvious, right? But instead of doing those things, instead of doing the difficult work that needs to be done, you have these political parties that are just focused on utter nonsense. And it's distractionary, right? We can act like we're doing a bunch of things without dealing with the important stuff, but we're doing all these other things that don't really mean anything, as an example. So there was the State Democratic Party had its 2026 state party convention. And at the convention, they'll vote on a bunch of things that they want to be like part of the party platform. This is where the real nonsense comes out. I'm sure, I didn't look at the whole list. I'm sure they voted on something for Gaza and, you know, dumb stuff. But they also voted this into their official Washington State Democratic Party platform. Reparations. Specifically, quote, we support both the study and implementation of reparative action, remedies, and reconciliation for the descendants of victims of United States chattel slavery, whose documented slave labor and patriotic military sacrifices not only helped build this country, but gave birth to this great nation. And apparently it's the first Democratic Party in the country to adopt reparations as part of an official party platform. More on that in a moment. Shasti Conrad is the chair of the Washington State Democratic Party. Here's what she said. Democracy is never finished. That is the lesson of Juneteenth. While others seek to divide, Washington Democrats are choosing something different. Black history is America's history, our country at its best and at its worst, struggling to become what it promised to be. Our party's platform is a statement of values, and our party has decided that we will continue the fight for justice for the descendants. And she spelled that wrong. Descendants of enslaved Americans to right this historic wrong. And then former state representative Jesse Wineberry was part of, he dressed in this colonial patriot garb, which I kind of like. I kind of like it, to lobby for the amendment. And he said this: as we celebrate America's 250th birthday, we thank Chair Conrad and every Democratic delegate who voted unanimously for federal reparations for descendants of the U.S. enslaved. Their slave labor was the down payment for all the freedoms we enjoy today. Unanimously, every delegate to the Washington State Democratic Party convention voted unanimously to support the idea of federal reparations for the descendants of freed slaves. Now, I will say, Washington State already does reparations. Washington State does reparations in various forms and taxpayer-funded programs that give free stuff to Black people. And one of those programs, the Community Reinvestment Program, like a year into it being a reality, what happened? Well, we did an exclusive report unveiling the fact that they basically just used the money to enrich themselves. The people who were tasked with giving up, like our first experiment with reparations, and the people who were tasked with giving out the money, the BIPOC nonprofit organizations just kept it for themselves. That money didn't go out to the descendants of former slaves. They just padded their own pockets and bought their family members houses and cars and all this stuff. So like, yeah, I mean, that's not a really a first good effort at reparations. And also, I've said a million times, like, the idea of reparations, right? So how do you prove someone is the descendant of a slave? And what is the harm sort of accrued as part of that? I mean, to me, if you have a case of discrimination against the government or some sort of tangible thing you can bring, that's different. But we see so often in these efforts toward reparations, it's just based on skin color. It's not based on need. It's not based on harm. It's not based on any sort of actual tangible, like, connection to history. Like the reparations and programs in Washington, you don't have to prove that you were the descendant of a slave. You don't have to prove that your family was discriminated against in any way. You just have to have the correct amount of melanin in your skin. It's the stupidest thing in the world, but this is what they're focused on. And they're like, look at this. And they put out a big press release about it. And we're going to be the first party in the nation that says we support reparations. And meanwhile, like, we're in the middle of a crime crisis, homelessness crisis, drug crisis. Our economy is shriveling up to virtually nothing. You think they're out there? You think the state Democratic Party at its convention is putting forth ideas and party platforms to improve public safety, to combat homelessness, to combat drug abuse, to try to keep businesses from fleeing the state? No, of course not. They're focused on dressing up in colonial patriot garb to lobby for reparations for descendants of slaves. It's just so indicative of the state of the Democratic Party. And we're going to continue on that theme coming up next. First, if you are thinking about maybe leaving the state, or maybe you're just downsizing, maybe you've got to that point in life, kids are out of the house or whatever, so you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Wes Jones and his team are awesome. Jim H. gives them 5 stars. We packed our bags, hit the road to a new state, but we jump at the chance to work with Wes again in a heartbeat. Together, his team turned our long-distance deal into a breezy walk in the park from beginning to end, and Wes has been working with a lot of folks who are leaving the state, sadly, and I hate to hear that. You know, going to Idaho, Texas, Florida, Arizona, a lot of them with virtually no notice, and this can be a difficult time to sell your home. There's a lot of listings on the market right now, and that might just mean you can get the same results, Wes says, but you just have to maybe put a little more effort into how your home is marketed, staged, etc., and he would love to help you with that. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. Single dose? Is it a double? Single. Single, sorry. Maybe I'll make something else unbelievable just to make good on it. Boop! All right. So the Subcommittee on Immigration Integrity, Security and Enforcement had a hearing, so congressional hearing, and it was titled Sanctuary Policies, Victims' Perspectives. So obviously this is something Republicans want to do, right? They're still focused on the issue, as they should be, of sanctuary jurisdictions and the harm that they cause in our country by protecting and shielding and giving sanctuary to all sorts of illegal aliens, including very, very violent ones. So specifically, it's focused on the victims' perspectives. Everyone knew that going into it. This is what it was going to be about. Families whose loved ones have been killed by illegals are going to be testifying, okay? So Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of Washington State is the ranking member, so the highest ranking Democrat who sits on that committee. Here are part of her opening remarks.
Unfortunately, this hearing is it's the fourth time in this committee that we've had a hearing on sanctuary cities, the fourth time. And there's many other things that we could be doing other than this. We have had this series of hearings that are designed to attack the very trust policies that research has shown over and over again have actually saved lives and kept communities safer.
Disappointed. She's disappointed that they have to have another hearing on the danger of sanctuary policies. And not only that, that sanctuary policies have saved lives. Now, this didn't go over well with some of the individuals who were brought there to testify as victims and to talk about their real life experience. So, of course, you'll know Sheridan Gorman. She was the Loyola University Chicago student. She was allegedly shot and killed by an illegal alien, a Venezuelan national, earlier this year. Well, her mom had something to say to Congresswoman Jayapal.
This is why I'm sorry. I get so upset when with your butts and you don't want to talk about this. This is the fourth hearing. Do you know what I'm thankful for? And this is so messed up. I'm going to say I'm thankful after hearing. I didn't even know what an angel family was. Had no idea. Never even heard about it. There's so many out here. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that my daughter was just shot in the back of the head, not raped, murdered, dismembered, put in a garbage can like Megan Boss with bleach poured on her, and they didn't fight her for 50 days. And you can actually dismiss the angel families. You can say, but you don't want to hear four sessions on angel families. I'm sorry. You need to. I'm actually thankful that my daughter wasn't raped. How messed up is that? That I'm thankful every day that she was just murdered, not raped and dismembered. Like, think about that. Like, how messed up is that? Do you know what I thought of this morning when I got up? What the joy of, anyone have a baby here? The joy of picking out their first outfit that they're going to wear on their ride home from the hospital. I had to pick out my daughter's last outfit, and she was a fabulous dresser. We had 100 people come to our home, 100 friends and family came to her home. We had her cremated, actually, after. And they all decorated her urn with rhinestones. All of them put it on there. She's fabulous even in death. But for the first time, all the excitement of having a child and then having people make excuses and buts. I'm sorry. This is unacceptable. There are so many angel families out here. And the day that I have to wake up and be thankful that my daughter was only shot and not raped should tell you something.
How embarrassing for Congresswoman Jayapal. And good for that mom, Jessica Gorman, for calling her out. And so sorry to inconvenience you, you know, Congresswoman. Sorry to make you sit through this again. Must be really tough on you, huh? And look, if Congresswoman Jayapal wants to sit up there and argue, you know, with facts about why she thinks sanctuary policies are good, by all means. I mean, that's what the hearing is for. That's what having two different opinions on an issue is. But don't disparage the people who have lost something tangible, in this case, a daughter, to brutal crimes that exist, that are happening. Like, when can we get back to the point of like, I am so sorry this has happened to you and your family. This is not acceptable. We need to stop violent crimes of all forms. You know, how can we fix maybe sanctuary policies so they're doing what, you know, I think they should do? I'm pretending to be Congressman Jayapal, but that we don't protect dangerous illegals. Like, is that really so out of the realm of possibility? And we've said it before, there's a million things. They claim that it's so that you can call 911 if you're an illegal, report a crime, report that you're the victim of a crime and not be deported from the country for it. We can do a carve out for that. I don't think anybody would disagree with it. You can do a carve out for that. You call 911 to report a crime, then we're not going to come and arrest you ICE can't come and pick you up for that. We're not going to do that. That's much different than what the sanctuary policies are doing today. And it reminds me so much of Governor Bob Ferguson and his dismissive response to a question I asked him about Trooper Christopher Gadd. We had a state patrol trooper murdered by an illegal alien. There were multiple opportunities to get that illegal alien out of the country, but our sanctuary policies protected him from deportation. And then he went on to kill Trooper Christopher Gadd, who had a newborn child and a wife. And I remember asking Bob Ferguson about it during some, you know, song and dance he was doing on sanctuary policies, and he sort of dismissed my question about it. And it's like, can you just acknowledge the horrific loss of life and the fact that, yes, sanctuary policies contribute to it, and then tell me why you think it's worth it? That's it. Like, hey, yes, there are some maybe unintended consequences of sanctuary policies, but here's why I think the what we want that policy for, why it outweighs all of that. At least be intellectually honest with us about it, right? All right, since we just did three stories back to back about how members of the Democratic Party have lost their mind, and of course the party is going further towards socialism, you don't have to like Trump to understand what's happening in the Democratic Party right now is terrifying. So there is an effort underway in Washington State to try to give sane people a different option. And I hadn't played this yet on the show this week, so I wanted to do it today. So we had on Sundays with Subscribers this past week, Krist Novoselic. He is the co-founder of Nirvana, a little band called Nirvana. Really cool guy. I've met him at some political events. And he, you know, like a lot of people said that he just felt like he was out in the wilderness. You know, he had been sort of on the left, dabbled in libertarianism, but he just felt like he was wandering in the political wilderness and absolutely politically homeless. And said a lot of Seattle Democrats and more traditional or liberal Democrats started to feel that way as well. So he's launched something called Cascade Party. It says we're building a political home for Washingtonians who are tired of the extremes and ready to rebuild trust in the public sector. Cascade Party supports candidates at all levels of government and represents communities across the entire state. And look, I've said I don't like the two-party system very much. I think it's just too binary for most Americans. And, you know, I think most of us, and I'll speak for myself, don't see us fitting perfectly into one of them. Now, I'm not saying Cascade Party is the solution to it, but I definitely appreciate any opportunity to sort of bring the political conversation back to sanity. So I had Krist on the show and we talked a little bit about what the Cascade Party is.
Well, we started Cascade Party. It goes back to my story with Democrats. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't recognize the Democratic Party today.
Yeah.
And it's basically a host for national groups like Democratic Socialists of America, mm-hmm. or Working Families Party. You know, Working Families has a lot of traction in New York State with their like fusion ballot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they run as Democrats, but there's really this national thing, and it's the Democratic Socialists, which is fine. This is America, and so we have elections. So, and then there's a lot of voters who they'll see just, they think they're voting for Democrats, but it's like, well, this is kind of, you know, remember
D,
Yugoslavia.
But it's Sean Scott, you know?
Yeah,
it says,
you know,
D, but
yeah,
it's, right.
Yeah, yeah. So there's, you know, there's that, and they get elected, and yeah, they're gaining ground. Mm-hmm. So I'm not putting anybody down, and I'll give them that. So we started Cascade Party to be an alternative. We're not MAGA. We're not Republicans. So one of the things we do is what a third and a new party does traditionally is to bring issues into the mm-hmm. election and to package issues too. So like when there's like voters, they'll see a donkey, they'll see a elephant. And then if you have the, if you don't mind me, Grant, there's the owl. So there's the owl. So that's what parties do, mm-hmm. is they package issues for voters.
Yeah. So look, check it out. Check out Cascade Party. See if it's something that speaks to you. I like the idea of trying to get back to some sort of centrist idea or working together. I did question him on a few policy positions of the party. I didn't get a lot of specificity from him in that regard, like would they, you know, support protecting girls' sports and things like that. And that is the challenge. Whenever you try to create a third party, it always ends up looking more like one of the two parties, right? And how do you, if you're building a centrist party or a moderate party, how do you decide who fits that mold? Because as a party, at some point, you got to start choosing candidates, right? And what do they look like? And are they more to the right? Are they more to the left? And all of these things. But check out their party and all that information. And if you want to watch that full interview, go to UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, and you can become a subscriber today. All right, let's get to a little national news, shall we? So yesterday there was the decision on birthright citizenship, which I said, if you missed the show yesterday, I actually think it's a constitutionally sound decision. And I said, there's kind of two paths forward. You could try a constitutional amendment to remove that part of the 14th that says born in the United States, because I think it's just a very clear interpretation. Or you could set out trying to change or crack down on some of the people who are abusing the 14th Amendment to just drop an anchor baby in the country. And it seems like that is what the federal government is going to do in the immediate term. So the Department of Justice sent out a memorandum to all its employees, and this is in response to the ruling from SCOTUS. And it talks about, hey, we are going to redouble our efforts to try to crack down on like birth tourism, et cetera. It says the benefits of United States citizenship require little explanation. Unlike most countries in the world, the United States extends this extraordinary privilege to almost anyone born within its borders and territories. Regrettably, the American system is exploited each year by thousands of foreigners who travel to the U.S. under false pretenses to give birth and secure citizenship for their child. The criminal laws of the United States already prohibit conduct inherent to many of these so-called birth tourism schemes. For example, many such schemes start with a false visa application with lies about the purpose or duration of one's travel to the United States. The Department of Justice will investigate and hold accountable those who engage in this unlawful conduct, as well as those who solicit and sell these criminal services to others. It says, I'm directing all United States attorneys in the criminal division to work with the Department of Homeland Security to prioritize the investigation and prosecution of birth tourism schemes. Great idea. Yeah, ratchet it up, see what you can catch. If somebody's coming to the country 8 months pregnant, like, yeah, I mean, that sets off a red flag. I was actually watching, somebody was posting some clips of, there's like a show that follows like Border Patrol, Customs and Border Patrol, like at the actual ports of entry where, you know, it follows them catching like drug smugglers and people bringing medication they shouldn't bring into the country, all sorts of stuff. And I saw this clip of this woman who was like about to burst and they wouldn't let her into the country. And so they do this. I think that's a really good way. So securing the border, great way to crack down on people who are trying to drop an anchor baby here, and then ramping up enforcement of existing federal laws against birth tourism. And then if you really want to do the difficult job, try to get a constitutional amendment passed that narrows the scope of who is considered a U.S. citizen when born here. So I think that that's a good way to go about it. And you can be mad at SCOTUS, Trump, but if we want a plain reading of the Second Amendment, we have to agree with plain readings of all the other amendments as well. NBC News has lost its mind. And I feel bad because I watch so much Dateline. I don't want to stop watching Dateline. I really like it. I really enjoy it. But Craig Melvin just saying nonsense on the air. And then this story caught my eye. And I'm like, literally, did they get bought by the Chinese Communist Party? Because if I were the Chinese Communist Party, these are the stories I'd be planting on America's 250th birthday. 100%. This is, honest to God, an NBC News graphic. As nation turns 250, many Americans say the Stars and Stripes is now a red flag. Good God. And I think the second headline is almost worse, so this is a different version of the same article. The American flag, to some, it's old glory. To others, it's a MAGA hat on a stick. I just, these people have lost their minds, and I'm being criticized for saying, like, Seattle isn't a very patriotic place. It's a MAGA hat on a stick. How unhinged can you be? And also, what kind of story is this? Like, if Kamala Harris were the president right now, do you think NBC News would be doing a story looking for Americans who hate the country? Like, literally, there's a 0% chance. There's a 0% chance. Leaving corporate media is the best thing I ever did. Best decision I've ever made. Not an ounce of regret for nonsense like this. They hate the president. NBC News does. They hate the president. So they must think, well, we've got to do a story because other people must be thinking about how much they hate America right now. So in this article, it's very long, and they sent out photographers across the country to take pictures of all these Americans who are sad about America. And yes, they sprinkled in some quotes from people who love America and are proud to fly the flag, but here's a couple of the quotes they included. Dina Bannick of Iowa, "I am not a proud American. Trump has ruined the country." And she says she'll be flying her flag upside down for the 4th of July. Dave Kavanaugh of Massachusetts, "I couldn't be prouder to be an American. I believe Americans should be proud to fly the flag and fly it the right way. What's shameful is that people who hate Trump are flying the flag upside down." So he's saying, hey, this is like one of the guys who says, "I'm going to fly the flag. I think this is shameful." Frank Chappelle says, "I'm a military member and I have displayed the flag for years. I do not display it now because I do not believe that it represents the values of the America I serve. I fly my state flag and will continue to do so in lieu of the American flag." Better option, I think, than flying it upside down. I'd rather have you fly just a different, like the state flag in this case. He's from Pennsylvania. Sure. But it's NBC News. I don't doubt that there's Americans who feel this way. And again, they did include people like Dave who said, no, I'm proud of it. Why would you fly the flag upside down just because of Trump? But the story itself would not exist if Trump weren't in office. And you really think, I mean, if it were Kamala Harris, there'd be still a ton of Americans who aren't happy with the president. But do you think Republicans would be flying their flags upside down? Did they fly their flags upside down during Biden? No, you didn't see that. And now you see it all the time. It's because to them, the flag is like a tool, right? It's a political tool. I mean, when they do their No Kings marches, the left, through downtown Seattle, they're all acting like they're patriots. Oh, this is about protecting the Constitution. You don't care about the Constitution or being patriotic any other time other than you're trying to prove a point, right? But this is all about NBC News. They are absolutely lost. And it's not just NBC. This is the kind of stuff I would expect from formerly MSNBC. MS Now, is that what it's called now? So stupid. MSNBC, I'm going to call it that. It's one thing for MSNBC to act like that. It's a different thing for NBC to act like that. But here's MSNBC.
In this moment, 250 years on, a man and a young nation that overthrew a king and decided didn't want to be ruled by one, now sort of living under one who would aspire to be a king.
Well said, Willie. We imagine ourselves at once as a beacon of freedom and as a white republic. And that white republic takes the form where greed and selfishness and grift and hatred overwhelm in so many ways, our attempt to overwhelm and overrun our most basic principles. And that divided soul in so many ways is in full view in our current moment. And a choice has to be made, it seems to me. Who are we going to be?
Well, I want to be whatever you don't want to be. It's like this is, but then it doesn't surprise you, right? Why there's certain Americans who feel this way, that they can't even fly the American flag or they have to fly it upside down or whatever it is. They're probably watching MSNBC. They're probably watching NBC, CBS, CNN. And they just hate the country. Even when, and look at Fox News as an example. As much as like Fox News would rail against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they were never pushing anti-Americanism. They were never suggesting that it was appropriate to be anti-America in lieu of who voters elected president. I've never seen anything like that. But the Democrats are just different. Be patriotic if you like the president. Don't be patriotic if you hate the president. It's the most bizarre thing. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll. This is a tough one, because I think there's interpretations of it. I said, how confident are you that the U.S. can survive another 250 years, you know, in its current form, like as a democratic republic? Very confident, somewhat confident, or not very confident. And I think people could look at this and say, well, it does depend on, you know, do we give it back to, does AOC take over and the socialists take over and ruin America? I mean, that's part of it. So, Nicole, which one? Hello, Nicole.
Hey.
Welcome back. I was going to save it for comments to talk about your trip and all that stuff.
We'll
good to
it.
Have you back. Which one?
With the way that you say current form, I mean, that's not in this writing, but like if the current form, I don't know. I think it's going to evolve a bit. I don't know if it's going to evolve and then come back and then go a different way and come
like
back.
Like a Democratic Republic with all our general institutions intact.
I would like to say that it's going to survive, but I guess I'd be in the somewhat realm.
Yeah, I've got to say that too. I wish I were really confident, but it's crazy because, I mean, we are a super young country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many great civilizations in the history of the world that have peaked and then fizzled out really quickly.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what, if this socialism trend continues, like there was just another big socialist win in Colorado in a congressional race, That's a very troubling thing, because I think nothing will tank our country quicker than socialism,
right,
or communism.
This is an experiment, they call it, right?
Yes, still an experiment.
Still in the experiment phase.
Yeah, 50% of you say you're somewhat confident, and then equally split, 22% very, 30% not very confident. Theodore Cartwright, who has like the most cool, almost sounds like a founding father's name. Theodore, did you sign the Declaration? As people continue to vote with their feet, moving to places that better align with their values, our divisions will deepen and eventually a national divorce will become necessary. Hopefully we manage it peacefully. And I see that too. Red states get redder.
True.
Blue states are getting bluer. So what do you do when it, and if you want to come on camera, Nicole, just because I think people miss you, or not, it's up to you. When that happens and you don't have any more swing states, then in theory, the result of every presidential election would be a foregone conclusion. Because depending on how the swing states shake out, red or blue, and we have the apportionment already, right, of the electoral votes, if it is so disparate, then you would know every presidential election, the result would be obvious. So you'd have to, there'd have to be some movement to change it, or you'd never have a competitive election ever again. So yeah, in that sense, I don't know what would happen. I guess it would depend on which party got control and how that shook out.
Well, I guess it's you know, who has the best momentum or who has the best strategy, because that, and that's where we are now. That's why I think red states are getting a little bit weaker, because the Democrats have a strategy and it's extreme and gross, but it's working. Yeah. And they have to, we have to get it back or it's going to continue, because just like Chris said, it's like, oh, but we're not MAGA. So it's like, well, if you're going to label it that and like everybody's going to avoid that party, then you start to, you know, swing into these other parties and then it gets weaker and weaker.
Yeah. I mean, Hitler, you know, Hitler's party, the Nazi party, took control with a small, small fraction of votes. And that's, you know, when you get into these countries that have a multitude of parties, like you could say that improves our system in one way, like if you have the Democrats that break off from the socialists or whatever it is, and MAGA that breaks off from Republicans. But then you just, you don't need, what is it, a plurality? Or you just need a plurality? You need, you don't need 50%, whichever one that is. You don't need 50%. You just need a small little portion. Like I think the Nazis had like 30% or something, best of my knowledge.
Instead of just saying these people think different, which is I think what it was, you know, years ago, it's the other party is evil.
They are evil.
And that's where we've lost. We've lost our way. So I don't know how we get it back.
I think we need Marco Rubio to save the country.
I kind of think so.
Because he is, you know, and has been. I mean, they'll paint him as a Trumper, but I don't think that that can be, that won't withstand scrutiny from independent voters. And I think we just need somebody who's very intelligent, very well qualified, and is going to lower the temperature.
He's very hard to paint as a villain.
Yes,
he's
I agree.
Not a villain.
Okay, back to your comments. Sorry. Christine says, if we continue down the road we're currently on, there's no way we make it another 250. Christian, if we continue the path we're on with everyone moving to the state that aligns with their beliefs and values, it won't be the South versus the North. It'll be the red states versus the blue states. Please wake up, people. Bully mom, unless conservative values, or at least not wacko values like we currently have, step up, we will lose. I believe everyone has rights, but that doesn't mean they need to be shoved, their views need to be shoved down everyone's throats and lifestyles. Live and let live. Yeah, live and let live should be the motto of every state in the union. Like, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, and the government can leave both of us alone. That's what I want. I want to never think about the government. I don't want to wonder about what the government's doing to make my life better or worse. I just want to live my life. And they're doing minimal, just what they need to do, functioning. I'm giving them a reasonable amount of my money in taxes. And then they just F off. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just go away.
That would be fabulous.
All right. Okay, we'll do comments in a minute. You know, Nicole, Daryl wanted to read comments. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I just assumed you don't, because I know you hate reading on the spot out loud.
Sometimes I do. And sometimes it's just easier to react rather than that. And
you know, it's
I'm
up to
doing
you, right?
A lot of stuff back here, but, you know, whatever.
It's up to you. I just didn't know if it's something you wanted to do.
Oh.
I didn't know. If
either
it
way.
Is, it is. If it's not, it's not. Maybe we should have talked about this before we came on today. But Daryl's like just jumped in and I was like, oh, okay, you can read comments if you want. I don't mind. All right. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com has saved so many undivided viewers and listeners hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year on their insurance. It's such a no-brainer. And I'll say, besides just saving money, picking up the phone and talking to a real human right here in Washington State, that does it for me. I mean, even if they couldn't have saved me money, which they did, I would have been like, it's still better because I'm picking up the phone. I've got someone in Washington State, friendly. They're going to pick it up. They're going to talk to me about whatever I'm dealing with. And they're just so responsive. And I think that's wonderful. But the money helps too. I mean, Mike and I on our renewal, we didn't have to lift a finger. Our renewal came up. They reevaluated our insurance policies and they ended up saving us $2,000 for the same insurance. It's like a no-brainer. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. They've got your best interest in mind. And it is very obvious every step of the way. FirstMarkInsurance.com. All right, let's get to some comments from the live stream. The gang's back together. Mm-hmm, be honest.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your vacation or did you watch the show while you were gone?
I didn't watch it because I just didn't have the time to actually view it, but I was very much paying attention. So
I knew that. I wanted to be like, I know you're paying attention.
It's very hard to not, coming back to like trying not to reiterate things we've already done. So it's very tricky because I don't want to be out of it completely, but
hard to unplug when we do
it. But it was really hard to also stay in it because the time zones were so flipped.
Yeah.
Like I was going to bed when you guys were getting going.
Do you want to tell people where you were and what your favorite thing was?
Oh, sure. I was in Greece and it was a little celebration trip that I took with my mom, my niece who just graduated, and my sister-in-law.
That's a great graduation gift.
Yes. So she really wants to travel. And so this was kind of her introduction to travel. And we went to, I went last year to Greece and this time, added a new island so that there was something new for all of us. But then I also took them to Santorini and I just love Santorini. It's so fun.
And then you stopped in London? Was that just a layover
there? That was a layover. We had an overnight. So we got to like run around London really quick at night. And that was beautiful. So yeah, so I gave her this like introduction. So my favorite part was probably we went to Milos. That was the new island that I hadn't been to. And we went on this dinner, you know, sunset cruise thing and went out to this. It's rock formations or lava formations that happened, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago. And that we like snorkeled under and went swimming around.
Oh,
and
summer over there.
Well, it's the same kind of. Oh, okay, I mean, it's always nice there, but it gets a little windy in the winter. So it's their tourism season. But so we went on this like sunset cruise and it was just beautiful. And it was just fun spending time with my mom and taking her to someplace she had never been. Yeah. She hasn't really traveled much out of the country. So taking them all places that they've never been and kind of that's kind of my specialty is travel.
Big traveler.
And, you know, putting things together like that. So I love the like planning and getting them all organized and kind of showing my niece what world travel.
The pictures looked good.
Becomes.
What's your Instagram handle again?
At producer Nicole.
Producer
T.
Nicole. Yeah, she posts all sorts of pictures. So check
them out.
So
it's really fun and beautiful. And thank you for dealing with my, you know, being gone an extra week after your vacation.
Daryl stepped up, and you know, it was nice to hear from a dude, have some testosterone on the show for a little bit, but boys, we don't need them. Just kidding, Daryl, we need you. All right, on comments, can Washington's AG be trusted to defend girls? Milkman with a super chat. Ferguson did already double the size of the AG's office. I'm sure they have the manpower to split, just need to stop suing Trump endlessly. Yeah, that's all they do is they sue
they'll
Trump.
They'll never sue. They'll never stop until Trump he's
until
out.
Until he's done.
And then they'll probably find some way to sue him for what he did previously.
And then he'll pass away from old age and they'll sue his estate. Like, oh, they just cannot. They can't. All
right. Think of how sad that's going to be.
I know.
I think of how sad it's going to be when he dies. And not because, I mean, because we lose him, but the evil and the ugliness that's going to be released. Ugh.
When that happens many years from now, I'm going to check out and go to a deserted island.
I don't want to read anything
on the internet. Mm-hmm. Moon Goddess, my rights don't end where your feelings begin. Sorry. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just because it makes you feel bad to not be able to compete against girls doesn't mean you should be able to. It's just so stupid.
It's just been.
I'm just waiting to see if you want to read.
Oh, you want me to read
it? It's up to
from
you.
Hayes,
I don't want to put you on
five,
the spot.
5446. The AG office has become weaponized against the people, and it absolutely has.
100%.
It is hard to believe that you can be so unbiased in that role, but
Matt, they will go judge shopping and overturn the initiative just like they did with $30 car tabs. We got to try anyway. I know that's frustrating because you never know. Is this really the end? Or will they undo it? I think the ultimate thing is to try to get a better balance of power in Olympia so that they can't just rubber stamp anything or undo anything that they want. Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
From Amanda Chang 2558. It would be interesting to file a motion to have his office replaced by outside counsel for conflict of interest.
Yeah, but then they'll just pick Pacifica Law, which is just a liberal law firm anyway, and they'll do the same freaking thing.
Why do you have to release that statement? I just don't know. What good does that do you?
No. I don't know. Well, maybe with his base, I guess. Mm-hmm. On the Seattle Council approving an emergency street closure to deal with sex trade gang violence, J. Todd Welch, the root cause of Aurora crime is crime, drugs and human trafficking. Bring in the National Guard. They'll never allow that. They'll never allow National Guard. Do you remember? Well, technically the states control the National Guard, right? So it'd be the state National Guard. Do you remember Jay Inslee brought them in during the riots of 2020, but wouldn't let them be armed?
Right.
I was on news at the time. I'm like, what do you mean they can't be armed? So what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. Just stand there? And it was the dumbest thing ever. Yeah.
Alice Marie says, I have an idea. How about some targeted enforcement in the area? I'm a genius. Yeah,
you are a genius. Wow. You should be the mayor. Nanook of the North, arrest, prosecute, incarcerate. This isn't rocket science. Right. That's what's so frustrating is it's really not. It's actually pretty easy. Yeah. All right. On Dems making reparations a party platform, Vance says they can only get votes by buying the votes. If you notice the trend with the social and the Democrats, it's here. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you that. They're buying votes, right? They're like, oh, if you pass reparations, like, that's a good point, is they're doing things that'll buy them voting blocks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can get the black vote or whatever it is. So yeah, I agree. All right, you want to do with Jaipal being sick of sanctuary cities, sick of talking about sanctuary cities.
From Hayes 5446. Get rid of the numbers.
Read the number. From Hayes. Just Hayes. Okay. Yes.
That's so effed up that these families have to have to put up with Jayapal's attitude.
Yeah.
And I agree. Why do they? Whatever. She gave a little shout out to the families. Thanks for being here. Yeah. I'm so sorry. And then says, but these people I think are more important than your people.
Well, and it was we have to be here a fourth time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they also have to be here a fourth time to talk about the worst day of their lives. And so give them a little bit of respect.
And there's that many that they need four to have them all come and speak because there's so many of them.
Right. And it is, you know, hearings are based on what the party that controls the hearings wants to talk about. And when Democrats, I mean, how many hearings do they have on like January 6th? I mean, come on, you know, so let's be honest. You both use and abuse your powers when you're in the majority. Matthew Cook, if you're tired of these hearings, quit lying about how safe sanctuary cities are and get rid of sanctuary policies. Yeah, but she won't do that. Matthew, of course not.
From Little Miss J, $10 in celebration of my return. Jenny and Julietta say hi and much respect to you all.
Well, thank you very much, Little Miss J. Appreciate it. Yes, and welcome back, Nicole. You were missed. You were missed.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll get to our... Did you?
I did.
Did you miss me?
I did. Really? I did. Yeah.
Because we went. You see we haven't face? Been. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You act like I wouldn't, but there's two weeks. We don't spend 2 weeks apart.
No, it was more than 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, it was more. Crazy.
All right. Okay. We'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, could the market's biggest blind spots put your retirement portfolio at risk? Investors and advisors are focused on AI, inflation, conflicting headlines. But what if the real risk to your portfolio is something the market isn't seeing? Join Bulwer Capital's Zach Abraham for his free Market Blind Spot webinar, July 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Have your questions answered during the Blind Spot webinar. Totally free to sign up. Register knowyourriskpodcast.com. So maybe you're worried about what's happening in energy. And yeah, I mean, there are, I think, reasons to be worried about AI, crypto, tech, what's happening with inflation, et cetera. Wherever you might think that your advisor has a blind spot, at this webinar, Zach can talk to you about it. You know, talk about, is it a blind spot? Is your portfolio being properly managed? What they do at Bulwer Capital to make sure they're constantly looking at ways to reduce risk. So sign up, register now, knowyourriskpodcast.com. It's live, it's free, happening July 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast. Find out how to follow him across social platforms at knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, I don't want to let this one slip through the cracks. Remember the Stop Nick Shirley bill? Democrats in California continue to try to push that thing through. It's not actually called the Stop Nick Shirley bill, but they basically are trying to protect fraudsters from having independent journalists show up and ask questions about whether they're stealing taxpayer funds. So there was a public hearing on it on the Senate side in California, and a different citizen journalist named Darren Stalkup showed up, and I really like what he had to say.
The narrative that has been presented today is extremely false. People such as Nick Shirley and other investigative journalists who have exposed this fraud, millions of dollars stolen from American families, they're the ones being threatened, harassed, and doxxed. There are these mafias that work hand in hand with these corrupt nonprofits and organizations, and they have followed me home as well. So, you know, when it comes to people trying to figure out why they're being harassed, maybe it's because the millions of dollars they've stolen from American families.
Can tend to make people a little bit upset. And if you're one of these Democrats supporting this bill, their constituents should be asking them, why do you seem more concerned with protecting fraudsters than you are with protecting us? And that's really at issue here. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I'd really love to hear your ideas. Maybe you can comment on Patreon, Locals, or X about your thoughts on how we could potentially, or what the steps might be to divide the duties of Attorney General into two distinct elected offices, because I'm really interested in seeing what we can do in that regard. All right, go to undividedpod.com to support the show. It's $5 a month, and it helps us do the work that we do here on the show to get these episodes out to you. I think that's a pretty good deal. You can also shop our merch store while you're there, undividedpod.com. UndividedPOD.com. See you tomorrow, same time, same place.